1 Peter chapter 1. We will look at verses 3 through 9. As I was praying about what to preach and thinking that I had one opportunity to be with you and share, I just prayed, Lord, what would you want me to say? And the one thing that came to mind was this passage. And it kind of came and stuck. That was before I realized that you had been spending time in your adult Sunday school class in 1 Peter. And I thought, Lord, well, is this wrong then? Should we take a different direction? But I continued to pray and really felt like the Lord was leading for this passage for one simple reason. If I have an opportunity to share with you even one time and you never hear from me again, I would want you to have faith to know and hope that would persevere through a time of testing. I'm sure these last months have been difficult for you. So the whole point of this passage is to grant you hope. I hope that through these, we'll see a few truths from God's Word in this first chapter. And my desire is that they would be roots, that you can have a foundation in your life that would keep you and sustain you in times of testing. We'll all endure times of testing, so that's my goal. That's my desire this morning. So let's read that together. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your souls, outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your hope, and I pray for your strength. I ask that you would speak to us through your word. Pray that these promises that we have been granted would be strength for us, would be a solid foundation. God, I pray that every need would be met this morning. You know hearts. We come as needy people. And so I pray that you'd meet needs. I pray that your spirit would fill every one of us. Speak to our hearts. Grant encouragement where there's discouragement. Grant strength where there's weakness. And Lord, we depend upon you for all of these things. We thank you for your word. Without it, where would we be? Thank you for your promises, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. As I read your mission statement, to glorify God, developing a community of committed disciples of Jesus Christ, which has an impact locally and globally, I thought committed disciples need deep roots. And part of the blessing that I have received from reading passages like this is that I have endurance. These kinds of truths cause me to endure through times of difficulty. And we all have times of difficulty and times of struggle. So that's my hope this morning, is that some of these truths will give you deep roots to endure the struggles and tests that you're having as a church as well as individually. I don't know what's happening in your life, but I bet you've gone through some struggles. And so the prophet Jeremiah says it this way. He said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes. For his leaves remain green and it's not anxious in the year of drought, and it does not cease to bear fruit." That's my hope. As believers, as committed disciples, we have the kind of stamina that does not fear when the heat comes, because this passage says not if, but when the heat comes. And then deep roots will keep you through all of the difficulties that you'll face. In our breezeway, we have a little ficus tree that sits just along beside the swinging bench. And when there's a heavy wind, I have often walked out the front door and the ficus tree's lying down. So I put a rock in the bottom of it to hold it steady. But still, strong winds come. Every once in a while, the ficus tree is lying down. So I put another big chunk of wood in the base of that thing, trying to hold it down. And still, I walk out the door sometimes, and that thing is lying down. But at the end of our driveway are two 50-foot pine trees. I've never had to pick them up once. Why? They have deep roots. They're grounded. There's a firmness and a conviction. They're solid. That's my hope for you. And I hope that these truths that we'll look at will give you the kind of depth to continue and persevere. And Jesus gave an example in Matthew 13 of the parable of the sower. You know this. I'll just read one verse. It says, "Other seeds fell on rocky ground. They did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. And since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no depth of root, they withered away." I want you to be able to respond to difficulties by worshiping, not withering. Heat comes. What will be our response? Will we wither or worship? First Peter breaks out in praise in the beginning of this portion of Scripture that we read. And it's a praise. It's just a doxology is basically what it is. He begins by, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's praising God. And when you find out who he's writing to, it's all the more amazing. So if we take a quick look up to verse 1, who's Peter writing to? He says, "To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia." In other words, this word might be translated a sojourner, the exile, the sojourner, who's someone who has gone out from their homeland. They've left everything that's comfortable, everything that has granted them firmness in life, the things that they're familiar with, all that they have known, they've been separated from. They're sent out, so they're no longer home. And yet Peter says, "You're elect exiles," or chosen exiles, or chosen wanderers, chosen by God, and yet you find yourself wandering. So Peter starts off by saying, God knows you. To be chosen is to be known. And he wants to grant a faith and a hope that would sustain us. So that's the first thing. Will you be able to respond by praising God, by worshiping him, and not withering when testing comes? And I have gone through the passage. I see 11 things, 11 truths, 11 realities that would give us hope through times of difficulty. It's probably not wise to preach an 11-point sermon, but that's okay. As I just went through it, I just couldn't help but notice a couple things. We won't spend a whole lot of time on them, but again, in the end, I hope these will grant you. We have a living hope, and I pray that that's encouragement for you. So the first thing to see as we look at verse 1, Peter says, "According to his great mercy, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy." The first thing you have to know in order to worship through difficulty is God is a God of mercy. That's the first coming to us. Mercy is not getting what you deserve, right? And so here, Peter says, I want you to know that God is a great God of mercy. His mercy overflows to us through good things that we don't deserve. And that's kindness that we have, and we don't deserve it. Why? Because we have all rebelled against God. Sin separates us from God and puts us under his punishment rather than his favor. And sin is a part of all of our lives, and so we do not deserve anything from God. And yet he grants us mercy. You know, when the angels disobeyed, God did not give them grace. Hebrews 2:16, "Surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham." It's amazing to me. He didn't have to help us. He didn't have to grant us the grace and mercy that he did. And yet, he overflows because he is a loving God. So that's the first thing you need to know in responding to difficulty. God is a God of mercy. The second thing, we have a living hope. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Last week, I heard a good sermon on who Jesus is and that he is alive. How many of you believe Jesus is alive today? He is alive. And he is the source of our hope. And our hope is a confident expectation of something that will come. It's not a, "I wish it'll happen, but I'm really doubtful it will." It's not biblical hope. Biblical hope has a foundation of certainty in what will come. And this is what Peter's talking about. We have a living hope. Jesus is the guarantee of all of the promises of God. All of the promises of Scripture are yes for for us in Christ Jesus. That's absolutely amazing to me. And yet, Jesus, if he's dead, what good are his promises? A dead man can't keep his promises, but a living Savior can. And so we have a living hope, growing, active, and alive in our lives. That's my desire for you. Know the living hope that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. That's the third point that will help you worship through difficulties. And as I was reading this week, I don't know if you have a Bible reading plan. I highly suggest that you do. Get a plan and stick through it. Keep you in the Word every day. I just came across this, and it jumped out at me. This is Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You lacked nothing. The 40 years he's talking about is wandering through the desert, which they were in the desert because of their own rebellion and lack of faith. Yet the Lord never left them. Even in the difficulty, even in the time of testing, which the desert was, he never left them. I have been with you for 40 years as you have wandered, enduring my punishment, and yet I'm with you and you've lacked nothing. That's amazing. God is with us through the times of suffering. We have a promise. He's alive and will be and help and sustain us through all of the difficulties that we go through. The third truth that I hope will help cause you to worship the Lord, we have a promised inheritance. If you don't think there's anything better on the other side, you're going to give up. And we have an inheritance. Israel had an inheritance too, and it was lost. But we have a promised inheritance that Peter says is available to us. In verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven. Imperishable, undefiled, kept in heaven. Our promised inheritance of eternal life does not depend upon economic circumstances, does not depend upon who is in the Oval Office. Our inheritance that we have through Christ depends upon God, who is keeping it by his power, and he possesses all power. So have faith. God can work through. It's unfading. It doesn't diminish. Nothing falls away. Our investments may rise and fall, yet our internal inheritance is secure in Christ. And that's where our hope needs to be. And this word kept means it's who's being the one that's doing the keeping. God is doing the keeping. It doesn't depend upon us. Ultimately, our inheritance and the assurance that we have of receiving will depend upon the Lord's ability to guarantee that inheritance. And I have faith in all of his power. I do not have faith in my own strength, but we have faith in God's strength. That's the third point. The fourth idea that I hope will give you some strength is that you are being guarded by God's power. We often think we have what we need in order to make it through these times of testing. And what came to mind at this point was Peter, who at the end of the evening, when the Last Supper, you know, Jesus said, tonight's going to be a hard night, in my own words. And Peter said, I'm going to be with you till the end. I'll read it to you. Luke 22, 31. Jesus gives Peter a reality check. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to you with you to prison and to death. And Jesus said, Peter, tonight before the crow crawls three times, you're going to deny me three times. Peter thought he could make it. He thought in his own strength, I am with you, Jesus, till prison or until death. And Jesus said, tonight you're going to deny me. We often think, I can make this. I can do this. I've got the strength to do this. I have the resources to make it through in my own wisdom, in my own knowledge, in my own gifts and own talents. Peter was a zealous man, and yet he failed that night. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you. Jesus is alive right now, praying for us. According to Hebrews 7, he is interceding for our behalf. And I praise God for that. I said it this morning, if anybody gets their prayers answered, it's Jesus. Who do you want praying for you other than the Son of God? Amen. I hope that gives you strength. The fifth truth that will cause you to worship through adversity, you can rejoice in salvation. In verse 6, In this you rejoice. In what? This promised inheritance, all that we are, that Christ has for us, comes to us by faith in Christ. Rejoice that you're saved. And I don't know your hearts. Maybe you're not here today in faith in Christ. Maybe this is your first time here, or you've never really considered who Jesus is. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That is cause for rejoicing. If you don't know the joy in Christ, I ask you right now, why not? Invite Christ into your life. Surrender your life to Christ like Peter did, and he'll give you the strength to endure. Call upon his name and be saved. And if you are in faith in Christ, you're trusting in Jesus, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When Jesus sent out 72 disciples to be evangelists, they came back praising God that they had power over demons, that they were able to heal. And Jesus didn't say, rejoice in your power. Here's what he said. He said, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's Luke 10:20. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Salvation is an amazing gift that will cause you to worship through difficulties, because he didn't deliver you from slavery to let you die in the desert. All of the Israelite testimony shows that. God didn't bring them out to leave them alone in the desert. The time of testing, God is not going to abandon you in those moments. So endure. The sixth truth, these trials only last a little while. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. I know in the middle of difficulty, it seems like it will last forever. It seems like suffering will go on, and there will be no end to it. But I remind you of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 11. This is the man who endured many imprisonments, countless beatings. How many of you have been beaten so many times you can't count? Often near death. 5 times I received 39 lashes. 3 times beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. Shipwrecked 3 times. 1 night and 1 day floating at sea. Sleepless, hungry, without food, cold, and often in dangers. And that's the man who wrote, do not lose heart. This slight and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. If Paul can have the perspective that this is just a little while, we too need to have the same kind of perspective on the testing that we endure. And I know that's not natural, but by faith in Christ and by the power that comes to us through the Holy Spirit, that we can look at things like God looks at things. We can think like Christ. So testing might seem to last forever, but it won't. It's just a little while. And if you think about it, compared to eternity, 70 years is really, really short. The seventh point you have to know in order to worship through testing is some suffering is necessary. The clearest example for me is Jesus. He had to go through suffering. Luke 24:25. O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ that he should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And Isaiah 53:10, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. And Paul says in Acts 17:3, the reasons, as he reasons to the Jews and he goes from temple to synagogue, he goes about proving that it was Christ who must suffer and rise from the dead. He went about encouraging him, showing it's necessary for Christ to die and then rise from the dead. And so when Paul begins his discipleship training program for new converts, as he travels back around to all of the local churches, Acts 14:33 says, he goes around training new disciples and saying, it is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what we need to be prepared to endure. We need to be able to have firm roots during suffering by knowing there are many problems that are going to come to us as we seek to follow the Lord with all of our heart. You've got to know that, or you won't be sustained through times of testing. And Peter says, 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, let those of you who suffer according to God's will entrust your souls to a faithful Creator for doing what is right. It is necessary sometimes for us to endure suffering. I think my wife and I my wife had a disease that she struggled with for 4.5 years that was incurable. We learned things through that we would not have learned otherwise. We learned things about the intimacy of God's daily provision I would have never learned if life was easy. It just wouldn't have happened. And so suffering is necessary to refine our faith and to give us an idea of what our life is founded on. So the eighth point I'd like you to know, in order to worship through difficulties, it is sometimes grievous, and it's okay to grieve. If you look at verse 6 again, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Various trials are grieving. All that we endure sometimes breaks our hearts. And yet we have a promise and a command: weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. We have to be able to enter into that with each other in order to endure these things. Things that happen to us might be grievous, but if we know that the God of purpose rules through them, we can have hope. And I hope that gives you strength. Number 9, your faith is precious in the sight of God. As we look at verse 7, "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus." The tested genuineness of your faith. Sometimes you might not be sure what your life is based upon until things start shaking. I experienced that in my own life. When my parents divorced after 33 years, I was 21, and the earth moved in my life. There were no stable foundations. And through that, I thought I was a pretty strong Christian before that. But going through that experience, I realized I had a sense of stability and security that resided in the nature of my family and not in my complete faith in my God. And it forced me to analyze, what am I trusting in? I cannot trust in any person. People will let us down. Everybody will let you down. If you put your faith in a human, you will be absolutely disappointed at some time in your life. But if your faith is solidly in a living Savior who will carry you through, you will not be disappointed. Our hope does not disappoint because it is in a living Savior. You have to know that. Your faith is precious in God's sight. He's working for your good and for His glory. That will help you endure and give you strength through times of testing. And number 10, the ultimate goal is God's glory. All that He does, He promises. He does it for His good, His glory, and our good. We have that promise in 8:28. Let's read verse 7 one more time and look at it. "The tested genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, that it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's the ultimate goal, is the glory of God. And who knows who is watching the difficulties you're going through to see what you're made of? Who knows the people in this town who are watching the difficulties of Hope Church and seeing how they react and looking at what is your faith based upon? When Christians endure difficulty, it attracts attention for how we respond. And it's a great opportunity for us to say that our sufficiency is in Christ, not in our circumstances. Circumstances come and go. We can't be focused on our circumstances. We have to be founded and grounded in a God who loves us and is with us through all things. All of that will be to His glory. And we may never know the glory that comes through the difficulties we endure. Who may ever know the glory that will come from what I have learned the Whitfields have endured over the past year in losing Jenny? Who knows what doctors saw your faith and glorified God? Who knows what nurses were blessed by observing your life? We may never know, but people are watching. People look to see, what do you have that's solid to stand on? Because there's not much else in the world that is solid to stand on other than a faith in Christ. And lastly, loving Jesus is joy inexpressible. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and you rejoice with joy filled with inexpressible joy, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The abiding joy that comes that knowing Jesus has died for us, has redeemed us and secured our salvation. That is a joy often we can't explain. And I loved being with you to worship in song this morning. It was wonderful. That kind of worship, that kind of joy that we have despite the circumstances, only comes from God. Does the Bible not call it peace that passes all understanding? You can't comprehend it. We have joy inexpressible, filled with joy. It only comes by knowing there is a God who is at work through every difficulty that we are in order to bring us through, bring Him glory, and work ultimately for our good. That's a conviction we have to stand upon. And I pray that the kind of hope that is alive here in this church would sustain you for generations to come. You never know what the Lord will do through a testimony of your life. And as we prayed this morning, that hope would be a light in this community, that people would see, and that the Spirit would come alive and begin to move and work in ways you've never seen. That's my prayer. In your own personal life, I hope that these will give you some deep roots that will sustain you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your promises. Without your promises, where would we be? So I ask that you would take these words, the words that you have granted to us by Peter, a man who endured much suffering, and in sharing his heart, he shares that we need to be able to worship and not wither. He's writing to hurting people scattered all around the world, Jews and Greeks, and he breaks out in worship. And Father, pray that every person in this room would be able to respond to testing by worshiping and not withering. Make that happen in our lives. And Lord, bring salvation to those who have no faith. Open hearts to receive the gospel. And Jesus, most of all, we thank you for dying for us, for rising again, and for living right now and praying for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.